Tales of the Stupid.
Yes, Tales of the Stupid. So who would like to begin? Or should I begin?
Yeah, why don't you start it?
Okay. Then we'll go to the new guy.
I have three short tales of the stupid. I have two of the greatest quotes I have ever heard, and then one final tale of the stupid. My first two quotes is, about 3-4 weeks ago, I had a young lady, I was working in the bar at the time, a young lady comes out of the bathroom, sees me and my fellow guard standing there, and drunkenly moves over to us and says, "I love these guys, they're so sweet. They're the best guy. I especially love this one," she points to my partner. "He just had a little baby, and he's not getting any sleep." And she looks over to her boyfriend, who's standing there with his crossed arms, looking kind of like, oh, God, what is she going to say now?
Help me.
She says, "Except for, we're trying to have a baby, me and my boyfriend, but we can't because his sperm don't work."
Yeah!
I turned around, I walked outside, I slammed the door, they could hear me laughing inside. I tried to save this guy's dignity, I couldn't do it. They could hear me laughing outside of the building.
I think he lost his dignity a long time ago.
He actually stood there
through this conversation, so yeah.
That was number one. That was my number one great drunk quote. My second drunk quote, and I love this one. This is probably the best quote I've heard. Everyone in the room has heard me tell this story at least 7 times, so I apologize to them. But I have to share this one. We have a little girl I work with at the other place that I work at. And she was a little drunk. They had come from a bar for somebody's birthday, and every one of her girlfriends was berating her because they had just learned that the week before she had gone home with someone. Now, they're going on about, "You can't do that. You have to take protection. Did you have any protection? Did you just let to him? Because you were drunk and you shouldn't have gone home with him." And she goes on and she's like trying to assure them that she knew what she was doing and she was quite happy. And then these words tumbled out of her mouth. And by the way, none of this was meant with any sense of irony. This was entirely meant straight. "I practice, what's the word?
Abstinence.
I practice abstinence. I'm just not that good at it."
Well, it is an acquired skill. You have to take a 4-week course. They strap you to a chair.
They give you a nice little diploma afterwards.
I thought that was security training.
No, they don't give you a diploma in security training.
They gave me a lollipop.
A long time ago.
There you go. Have that. Get out of here.
So that was my two... That was my two great quotes. Now, my story is, last night at the bar, we had they were celebrating a wake for, it was kind of a celebration of life. It was a wake for one of our regulars who had passed away, which is kind of a shame, and I won't go into that, and I won't make a joke about it, because he will be missed. But anyhow, because his wake was there, it was old home week for every fucking asshole we had ever kicked out of the bar. Now, almost a month and a bit ago, we had a fight, an altercation at the bar, in which this guy was screaming into his phone, and I mean, he was getting quite animated, so I was following him, and so when he went outside, because somebody else was walking with him, I figured I'd better go outside and make sure that he doesn't start a fight out there. So as I walk out, I see this other guy walking up holding a phone to his ear. As soon as he sees him, he said something to the effect of, "Say that to my face now." He hauls off and he punches the guy so hard, breaks the guy's nose, blood splatters everywhere. The guy goes stumbling back, slams his head into one of these metal light posts that we have outside, and it broke off at the base and fell over. Now, to you who are listening, I know you have no idea. To everyone here, they've all been to the bar that I'm speaking of, and they all know just how thick these things are.
Well, I put someone into one of those lampposts, and I didn't break it.
Yeah, he broke it with his head.
Wow.
Okay, so his nose was broken, literally was bent sideways on his face. I grabbed the kid. The guy who had thrown the punch didn't even put up another fight. He just took off. So I grabbed the kid, held him up, had my partner call an ambulance immediately because I was certain that this kid probably was suffering a major fucking concussion. Turns out he had a mild concussion, but he did need to have his nose refixed and part of his face wired. So it's like I said, a month and a half, 2 months since then. He's got the wires out of his mouth. His nose is still, you know, bandaged up a little bit. He comes back to the bar, and he's coming back with a couple of his buddies. And who's one of the buddies? The guy who punched him. My first thought is, they're all fucking idiots, and the guy deserved what he got. That was my first initial thought. So I'm like, okay, you can come in, but I'm afraid you've been banned, the guy who threw the punch. You've been banned from the bar. And he's like, well, you know, it's nothing. And the guy's like, what's he banned for? No, he's a cool guy. And I'm like, dude, he's banned for hitting you. And he's like, what? I'm like, he's banned for hitting you. You mean the guy who punched me? That was him? He was so drunk.
Wow.
He didn't know. Wait for it. So he turns and he goes, you didn't fucking tell me it was you. Well, it was nothing, man. It was. And then he jumps him. So I have to pull these two apart. They separate. One goes in his car and takes off. Yeah. The guy who got punched, who was not sent to the hospital with a broken nose, needed his fucking mouth
wired. I can understand why he wouldn't remember that, but the fact that the other guy was just hanging out with him and didn't tell him? That's like epic levels of douchebag.
Not only that, none of his other friends
said anything.
Your entire peer group is douche.
You just broke up a douchebag bromance.
That's my tale for the stupid.
Wow!
Yeah, that's...
Wow, okay. It'll be hard to top that.
Everybody is face palming themselves. I win.
Wow. Did I say wow? I meant wow.
Wow.
No, wow.
Okay. Everybody out there... You can remove your hands from your face. Welcome to the real world. This is why security guards appear slow and stupid, because this happens every week.
We're still trying to work it out.
And we're just always contemplating this level of stupid, so it slows the rest of our processes down.
It is so bad, I almost went into Mallrat mode and put out a totally. That's how bad it was.
Shaw.
That's Shaw.
That's totally
bad. All right. Say basically.
Okay. Literally. Yeah, no basicallys. We have to celebrate.
I know, I've said a couple of basicallys.
Have you?
I've counted
I think we're four or five literallys, definitely.
You don't want to know what the basically count was from the last show.
Oh, yeah, I was
you do not want to.
We were really keeping track.
I was way too hyped on that stuff. That's my problem. Whenever I get drunk or tired, my brain shuts down.
So you were drunk, okay.
So, no, not drunk, but whenever I get too hyped, I mean, I had,
yeah, the
like,
literally, basically, whatchamacallit.
Yeah, I had three of those things, and when I get that wired something,
that's retarded.
My brain processes slow the fuck down, and instead of saying,
well, that's because the blood's moving so quickly to your brain, it's not actually depositing any oxygen.
It's just like, hi, I done what?
You gotta go for the next guy. Catching up, the blood cells already cycled through. He's like, "What? What do you mean? I need to pick up oxygen to pick it up? You know, oh shit, I'm at the liver already."
That was a short life. You're one of Desmond's blood cells. Let's go through your life.
Yep.
Okay then. But wait, didn't I deposit? No, you didn't do shit. You started in the bones, you ended in the liver, that's all you can remember.
The rest was just a blur.
Say, why do red blood cells get an afterlife anyway? It's kind of crowded.
And we really
now you're really putting thought into it. You ain't got that out?
That's what happens. First I talk, then I think. I find it's very efficient.
Wow.
All right, so who else has a tale?
It's a new guy.
New guy's turn.
This happened, you were there with me, Mr. Mayhem, at the Tim Hortons 3 years ago.
Yeah, okay.
I was sitting at a site, bored. A friend of mine showed up in his truck, and then it's back when I didn't have a vehicle. So we were hanging out, and he was keeping me warm because it was the middle of winter, and he just started taking naps, so I'm sitting there watching. And
you also have to remember that you have to mention that this guy was also a former security guard as well.
Yes, he was. So, but he was a friend of mine hanging out and sitting there, and I see Mr. Homeless Person drive up on a bike, and, well, he's pretty
easy. That's actually his name.
Yeah, Mr. Homeless.
We'll call him Mr. Homeless Person.
I know him well. He actually has a house in Maui.
Anyway, I'm sitting there, and I'm just watching him, because that's, well, what I'm supposed to do, and gets off his bike, okay, he starts walking around, and then he bolts it for the Tim Hortons drive-thru. Found that a little odd.
Yeah.
So I nudged my guard, and I'm like, he just ran into the Tim Hortons drive-thru on foot. Boom, my buddy's gone out of the truck. I'm like, ah, shit. He's a lot faster than me. I'm fat and can't run as fast. So he's running after
excuse me for a second. You, even in this room, do not get to call yourself spat.
I'm Kirby.
Yeah. I believe the term is full figured.
Full figured, all right.
Voluptuous.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Anyway, he goes running after this guy, so I go chasing after him, but my buddy rounds the corner of the building into the drive-thru, and I'm running, and all of a sudden I hear, wham! Crash! Oh! And I come around the corner, and my buddy has got this guy, face first, in the middle of the drive-thru, with his arm cranked around his back.
Chicken wing.
Yeah, basically, and this guy was trying to move like a pretzel, and it really didn't work too much, so we pick him up, and he also goes from violent to being very calm, because, well, I'd call Mr. Mayhem and another guard over, so there's four of us standing out there staring at him like a fucking moron. He was trying to steal money out of the charity box in the drive-thru.
So what, he made a dash for the charity box?
Yes, with a magnet and a clothes hanger.
Oh, so he fixed the magnet to the end of the clothes hanger and was fishing for change.
Oh, so the reason he had dashed is because he was sitting there watching, and as soon
see
as
when the girl left the window
he made a dash for
it. And then he started fishing for change out of the charity box.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh. Okay.
And your buddy caught him doing it.
Yeah, well, I saw him run for the thing, and my buddy went and grabbed him.
Yeah.
So
he obviously had experience with this before. He knew what was going on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to know how much he made out with? 32 cents.
Well, he actually made out with it? You didn't make
No. We called the cops, and he got arrested, and he also had women's nails and women's... What was the other stuff?
He had a bunch of women's
products.
Because the other thing that's open there, the only thing that's open 24 hours in that area is a... drugstore.
It's not 24 hours, but it's still midnight. I'm talking about the one in Cloverdale.
Oh, in Cloverdale.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. This is in Cloverdale, not in
Langley. Not in Langley.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. I still can't comprehend why you would.
So he basically got cut in half and turned into a pretzel for 32 cents.
Yeah.
Basically, yes.
Yes. Yep.
This is why he's homeless.
Yes.
And he failed business school.
And being made fun of by a bunch of security guards on the internet.
Yeah, that has to be the lowest.
You know you have to be pathetic when we're all sitting here making fun of you.
Yeah.
Well, last week we had George the Scumbag. Now we have Mr. Homeless.
Cedric Homeless Guy. Apparently that house in Maui is very, very far away from
you. He needed bus fare. Now, I mean, everyone has heard this, and I'm going to repeat this story. Has someone not said that you can actually make more money panhandling than you can from a standard
minimum wage
job?
Squeegee kids make more an hour than people working in McDonald's.
Yeah. I think that's shame on McDonald's more than panhandlers.
Yeah, we are...
Oh, yeah, no, I'm not blaming the squeegee kids. I'm just saying, this is everything that's wrong with society.
Well, I mean, people wonder where panhandlers come from. I mean...
Yeah, and you also don't have to pay...
Taxes.
And 9 times out of 10...
The Canadian government would find a way to make you pay taxes.
Well,
they discovered the panhandle...
It's called the HST.
They tax your squeegees.
Discovered that the panhandle population was high enough, I'm sure they'd find a way to keep track of their income.
What would happen if squeegee kids started using fire water?
Well, it's real easy.
Then.
A lot of fun would happen. It's called a Molotov cocktail.
Although that involves, like, conventional gasoline. That's the old... That's your granddaddy's fire water. We have this new drinkable, potable fire water.
We have water fire.
No, the old fire water was bourbon, wasn't it?
At least it's allegedly drinkable. Nobody actually drank it in the movie for reasons I can't figure out.
That's one of those thinking before you, speaking before you think things again.
Right.
All right.
Who's next? Keep going around the
room. Sure.
I actually thought about this story after we were done the last show. This is way, way back when I worked at BC Hydro.
Speak up.
So I was essentially the site supervisor there. Not because I'd ever been promoted to site supervisor, but because I was the only one that they could keep on the site for longer than a couple weeks.
So, yeah, either
quitting or attrition or whatever. Our most common problem was that Paladin security guards don't like walking. You get two kinds of Paladin security guards. And, yeah, I don't mind smearing the Western Canada's largest security corporation because I used to work for them. That gives me the God-given right to say that their payroll went up the owner's nose. Anyway,
we'll leave that one alone.
Once again, you can't find it. Neener.
Actually, now that I said that, anyone from Paladin Security knows exactly who I am, so the pseudonyms are useless. But... anyway, while I was working there, we got a new guard, Pakistani gentleman named Saheed, Jaqueed Saheed, and he was actually a very interesting guy, and a very good security guard. He didn't mind walking. He wasn't scared of the dark, and he wasn't studying for a final exam. It was wonderful. I loved it.
But those are the three basic categories of security guards.
Yeah.
And then there's us.
Just ruined my mood.
Anyway. So I get to train this guy on the site, and we had a device. It's called a Dyster. I think that's just the corporation that makes it.
Yeah,
but it is essentially, for all intents and purposes, it is a penis-shaped blue wand that is used to keep track of our movements at all times. There are little electronic chips that look for all the world like a nipple.
He's not making
you know,
this
sitting
up.
sitting on the walls and on fence posts and various other places in the site. You go by and you make contact with the wand. and you know it records. You know the it
you were here.
It records
at this time.
The fact that you were here on the device, and then you download it at the end of the shift, and that proves that you actually went up, went somewhere and did something. As opposed to take all the points down and put them on a sheet of paper and just, you know, make contact with them as you're reading your newspaper like I used to do. But
you did not.
But no, I didn't because I could never find a way to stick the things back on. But I actually got that as a story from the guy I took over at the site from. He said that some of the previous guards used to do that. They found out because they kept getting reports that the Dyster points were dropping off from their locations, and they do that. I mean, there is no such thing as an outdoor caulking that will hold these things on. I've never found one anyway. But you know, usually it's after a year after you've stuck them back on.
Uh-huh.
But these things were dropping off every other shift, and
they
eventually figured out what was going on. But so anyway, I'm training this guy, and I'm. My method of training people is just to go through my day and talk to them and
have them actually follow you.
Yeah, have them follow me around for the shift and you know doing the Dyster thing and so I tell them you know just go around, always have your dong with you. And if you know, I'm not going to bother trying to tell you where all the nipples are because there are millions of them, but just go through your patrol, and if you see a nipple, hit it. Eventually, you'll be finding them all. Anyway.
But wait a second. You told him
yes.
To take his dog
and go find all the nipples.
No.
It's still insecurity, right?
For those of you joining us in the fantastical world of the future who've already figured out how this story ends, don't tell your buddy. Let anyone who hasn't figured it out yet be surprised. So anyway... For a little more foreshadowing, in case you needed it, this guy's English wasn't great. I'd just like to say that. So, it's about 3 months later. About 3 months later, and the actual site supervisor, the site is kind of split in two. There's half the site, and there's the other half of the site, and then there's 88th Avenue that runs right through it. So the site supervisor actually works on the other side of 88th Avenue. So I'm going, and we're talking about what's going on the site, and you know, we're having our coffee and talking about politics, and finally he goes, "Yeah, I want you to see this." He hands me a DRS sheet written obviously by someone who really likes to write DRS sheets, because there was like 5 pages. Holy and I'm shit. Like, oh man, that's more reportage than I think I've written in my whole career.
Yeah.
my general attitude towards reports is that nobody wants to read them. You know, you do the minimum that's required, and if something happens that warrants you saying more, say more, and they'll just skip to that.
Yeah.
But, you know, other guards, the weather was cold, and I put my left foot forward, and it was
bunny
still
rabbit.
Cold.
A train went by, there was 45 cars on it.
Yeah. I mean, I know you're bored, but, you know, seriously.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he hands me this paper, and I'm reading it, and I'm not fully comprehending what it is I'm reading, because my mind is going, no, we must spare him from this. But essentially what I had in my hand was not a daily report sheet, but an incident report regarding, you know, it was kind of a cold, muggy day, and dysters don't work very well in high moisture situations. It's actually an indoor system. It really shouldn't be used outdoors.
Which is why it's such a wonderful idea to use them in British Columbia.
Yeah, it's really not a device that was designed for what we're using it
what
for.
You mean, it would work for 3 weeks out of the year.
Yeah. But anyway, this is the problem. This is mid-November, and it was really muggy and foggy and moist, and therefore, because it was moist, the nipples and the dong wasn't working properly. And essentially, what I was looking at, was this guy's incident report. And literally, it was explicit detail. But then I told him how to counter this, because I knew that this was going to happen. And I told him, what you do is you take the contact point and you move your thumb back and forth against the contact point, and that heats up the moisture.
You told him the thumb evaporates.
It evaporates and it leaves the contact point, and then it'll work after that most of the time. If it doesn't, just keep walking. Well, apparently I didn't tell him about the just keep walking part if it doesn't work, because he sat at one dyster point and he had a report where he goes, so I put my dong up to the nipple, and the dong did not work, so I massaged the nipple with my thumb and and then I put my dog back to the table, and it still did not work.
It was still too moist.
4 pages. Every dicer point he visited, he tried and tried and tried with the... And my site supervisor was going to fire him. And I, you know, that's what he said. As I'm getting to the end of the report, I'm going to fire this guy. What the hell is wrong with him? And as soon as he said, I'm going to fire him, I burst out laughing. Like, it's the loudest, hardest belly laugh I've ever done.
That's the most I've ever seen a security guard work.
And, well, this is the thing. I mean, it was a laugh of terror. Because this was actually a really good guy. I really liked him. He was a great security guard, and he was going to get fired, essentially for something that was my fault, so I confessed to everything. And I told him, you know, the way I train these people is I just walk around, and and he already knew that these were my affectionate terms for the Dicer system. And I said, and this is what I call these things. And I guess he actually thinks for some reason that that's what they're called.
because this is a very professionally written report. I mean, with absolute explicit detail.
Yeah, if he was a gynecologist, you'd believe it.
You know, I don't know if I would call that a stupid
story. Oh, it is. I was very stupid in there. I would say that's, I mean, usually we make fun of other stupid people, but this is definitely a tale of malcontent stupidity right there. That was where I learned about the magical world of language barriers. You know?
Malcontent, I want to remind you of a certain report you wrote at a recent, speaking of reports. You remember that? You wrote a report that you never thought you'd actually have handed in.
Oh, I remember you telling me about that.
Is this the uppity Neanderthal dogfucker report?
No, that was right over here.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's not our. That was across. That was the that's stupid. That's site. No, there's some site across from the Walmart in
Burnaby.
I forget what the site was actually called at the time, but no, it wasn't our.
Okay.
You called the manager there a...
Yeah, it actually wasn't a report. I wrote it on one of those Labor Unlimited
sheets, but it got left on a desk somewhere.
Essentially, we got a note from the management that asked that I, who have absolutely no hazardous materials or explosive certification... go around and rearrange all of their propane heaters while they were still lit. So that essentially, because the manager was worried that, you know, these things are rusty, they're made out of metal, and he was worried that they would create a little circle in the garages of future condo owners. And I wrote on a little sheet of paper, you know, in anger. I was actually planning on destroying it or taking it with me or whatever, but evidently I didn't. Like I care about some uptight yuppie's garage or your stake in it, you uppity Neanderthal dog fucker.
And you left that
there. And I left that.
It's there. Every security guard's dream, writing that report. I bowed down when I was told that he wrote that report.
Yeah, our boss calls us up and he's like, I gotta go fire him. And he's like, I'm like, why? What did he do? He said, well, I'm not gonna really fire him. He just can't work at, he says, a site. And I'm like, why is it? He left a note for when he called him a dog fucker.
Actually, no, it was
going to have to bleep that all out.
Yeah. I didn't say, I said our boss.
It doesn't matter. You said the
other name.
The other name.
Okay, well.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, it was his first name, but still. Okay.
Yeah.
But actually, it wasn't him. It was the manager of that site, who goes by a completely different name with a completely different ethnicity.
We'll just call him dog fucker.
Dog fucker is actually a good name for him.
Well,
I never liked that guy.
I mean, you did actually leave a note like that. That was at the tower site.
No, what I did is I didn't leave a note. I talked to the guy.
Oh, yeah, through the report.
Yeah,
and he said it to his face.
Because he said, well, as long as you're not doing anything...
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm a night watchman, and all I do is walk around and look at things. You know, as long as you're not doing anything, why don't you sweep up while you're walking around?
No, he wanted you to sweep the stairwell.
Yeah, I wanted me to sweep 14 floors
of stairwells. Yeah.
So I was like, well, you know, as long as I'm not doing anything while I'm sweeping, I could take a camera around and you know, document all your safety violations and mail those in for you, because you obviously don't have time to do that. And he was like, no, don't worry about it. Okay, just do what you do.
And
I was never bothered again.
Didn't they get you off the site?
Yeah, well, strangely, I got transferred to a better site, you know, like a month later. But.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you get thrown off sites for that. I mean, that's why I didn't take that too hard, because, you know, I kind of deserved it, and it felt good.
That's the thing. Our boss, he was kind of upset that he had to do it, and he had to go kind of, you know, kiss ass to do it. He was still laughing.
Yeah, I mean... honestly, people wonder why I work for him. Like my parents especially wonder what the hell I'm doing working for this company.
Yeah.
And the answer is that, you know, for all of his failings, the boss is a pretty agreeable guy.
Yeah, he is actually.
You know, and you kind of need that in this industry, because the clients are douchebags.
Yeah.
You know, they don't think you're a human being. And I realize that nobody in charge of a security company is ever going to go to bat for a guard, ever, for any reason.
Yeah.
But at least he's good enough not to get too uptight about it himself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Half the time he doesn't. He actually goes too far. Half the time he doesn't even tell you when you've been reprimanded from a site. It just disappears from your schedule.
Oh, I've been fired like 4 or 5 times already, and I have no idea. He told me a couple months ago. I'm like, how many times have you fired me? You don't want to know. What?
Well,
is it your turn to do a story?
Yeah, I think it's my turn. Okay, I've been off work for about 3 months because I injured my knee. Luckily, I did it on site, so the government has been paying my bills for the last while.
Yay,
Canada! We're socialist and haha, fuck you. So I was visiting the guys at one of the bars we work at. I work there sometimes too, and it was VD, J-Man, and Mr. Safe Word here, and we were all standing there. It was Halloween night. No, it was the
night before
Halloween. Yeah. And we were talking to one of the regulars there, who's a big guy. He's about 300 pounds. He's about 40 years old. And he's connected, okay, to one of the bikers. I don't know what. And there was a couple other big guys there that are friends of the bar. And we're all just chatting. And these two 20 to 25-year-old guys wander up drunk, okay, and I can't remember who. I think it was VD stopped him.
Yeah, I think I was inside the bar at this time.
Yeah, you were inside.
Yeah.
VD stops him, and is like, "Can I see some ID?" So the guy hands his ID over, and he's like, "Well, how have you guys been up to?" You know, standard questions while he's looking at the ID, and he's like, "We got kicked out of a cops broke up a house party and." We're just looking for a place to hang out. I think you've had too much to drink tonight. And he's like, what? And he hands him the ID back, and he's like, nope, sorry, I had too much to drink, find somewhere else to be. And he's like, what? And okay, he's 5'10", 140 pounds, 160 pounds. And his buddy is maybe like 6'1", 180, 200 pounds. Okay, and they're both blitzed. Although the tall guy is acting pretty sober. You can tell when he's walking he's drunk, but when he talks he was perfectly fine. So the little guy's getting a little mouthy. He's like, we're gonna come in and spend money.
That's because the little guys have tiny little livers.
And yes. But VD just backs off and is like, no, you can't come in. And this entire time, the tall guy's staring at the bar patron I was talking about earlier, and just staring at him. He's like, "Are you eyeballing me?"
Okay. Wait a second. Is this the guy I think I'm thinking?
Yeah.
Of?
Tall guy with the glasses.
Oh God.
Are you fucking kidding me?
I think he was a jester.
Yeah.
He
is a jester, or he was.
He's
a socialist.
He is.
So, and he. I'm not working, okay? I'm visiting these guys. He turns to me. He turns literally 180 on this kid and goes, "Really?" And he turns back and he goes, "What?" And he's like, and this kid is like, "Are you eyeballing me, man?" Okay, now, I don't know if any of the listeners know anything about the biker lifestyle or anything like that, but when you eyeball someone, you're paying too much attention to their business. Okay, you're staring at them and you're... Basically, if you make eye contact, it's a bit of a social challenge, okay? You're rolling a social challenge at that point. And I was like, what? Like, I was stunned. I was like, what? What are you talking about, man? And he's like, well, this guy's eyeballing me. And I'm like, well, he's looking at you because you're drunk and you're acting a little off. And he's like, what do you, you don't know what, you're messing with. And I'm like, who, where did you learn to say that? Like, first of all, he's wearing...
Sparkly shirts?
Well, no, he's not wearing sparkly shirts, but he looks like he shops at the Gap.
Oh, so wait. This is not even your prototypical.
No, he's not dressed gangster or anything like this.
This is a preppy.
Well, not a preppy. He just looks like a normal everyday college kid. Okay, not like golf shirt level.
Yeah.
He's got like the skater T-shirt kind of thing.
Oh.
But he's just
you don't know who you're dealing with.
Yeah, who
I'm in the drama club.
Like
He's like, gonna get down here. We're gonna reenact something on your ass.
So, and he's like, you know what? And then he just goes off, and he's like starting to back up, and he's like, you know, like fuck you all, you know, like I don't need this. And he starts like, you know, like, and then he's like, I'm gonna fuck you up.
Oh no.
And I saw. Like I went blue screen. Okay, my
reality has performed an illegal operation. And we're shut down. My problem persists. Contact the vendor.
My OS crashed. And when I regained consciousness, I was two steps from where I was. Okay, towards the kid. And I think everybody else. I took a step forward. Both bouncers took two steps forward. The patron took two steps forward, and two guys behind the guy took two steps towards them. And I don't remember doing it.
Yeah.
It was like all of a sudden we're just like whomp. and then we look up, and when I clear, I'm looking at this big 6'4" black cop standing behind the kid, and I didn't see him walk up. I don't remember him being there. And I'm like. I'm going to go now.
What it is you came back to your life at the end of the Quantum
Leap episode. And the kid's spouting off and walking backwards. Yeah. And the police officer is just standing there shaking his head.
Is that the big Somalian cop?
No.
Oh, no.
No, this is like a really dark African cop.
You're from Somalia.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That guy's funny,
Somalia
but scary.
Is Africa. No,
no. I thought he said Samoan.
No,
that's what I did, too.
Okay.
Screwed up.
So, he... And he wanders. Eventually, he sees the police officer. And he's like, whatever. And him and his buddy, wander off. And the police officer's like, did I just save his life? Like, no shit. He's like, what was he drinking? Like, I don't think I have a test for whatever he was on. And we start laughing with this cop, and the cop's just like, what was that? And I'm like, that's our everyday. And he's like, that's why I'm a police officer and I'm not a bouncer. Yeah. Because yeah. I can deal with that. You guys deal with that every night. And I'm like, yes.
Yes, we do.
I had a quick story about that cop. He was, I think one of our other guards told me about it. He was outside of the same bar, and this kid came out and he's starting to fight. And he's like, you know what? It's this cop. And this cop was like 6'4".
Yeah, he's big.
He's built like a shit brick house. And this little gangster wannabe motherfucker with a sideways hat, and I think he had a tap-out shirt on, probably.
It was a sparkly shirt.
Sparkly shirt. Yep. Comes up to this cop and says, you know where I grew up? I grew up in Wally. This cop looks down. I grew up in Somalia. I took AK to work. Fuck off. Well, the kid didn't fuck off, and as from what I can remember, the cop face-palmed him into the ground. And
what you mean is the guy tripped and the cop tried to help him up.
The guy tripped. There was
the guy tripped a few dozen times and the cop just kept helping him up. And there he was so
no,
clumsy.
Yeah.
For old Holmes weeks, no punches or kicks were thrown.
That's a lesson for all you listeners out there.
And our final story of the night.
Oh, I get the final story. Oh boy, I got to start first last time.
Yeah.
Aren't you special?
Yay!
Gold star.
Gold star!
Where's my gold star?
You'll get
it's
one
your first
week.
Day.
It's pending.
Okay.
Okay, well anyway, this happened at a site that all five of us have actually worked at one point or another. And we've all talked about this scenario actually happening, but I have been the only one to actually view it.
Aren't you special?
Yeah. Generally speaking, it's a large parking lot with a movie theater.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Okay. This parking lot, it has, let's see, it's a 12 to 16 screen cinema. It has three full-size restaurants in the parking lot, so this should give you a general idea of how big this parking
lot
actually is.
It's fucking huge.
Yeah. But anyway, I was just doing regular parking lot patrols in my vehicle, just driving around, and normally you see a variety of stupid there. You got everything from, you know, kids smoking pot in front of the doors, like directly in front of the doors where all the managers can see. I've actually had to deal with this one with my boss, actually. some guy that was in the theater who refused to put his pants on.
I remember that.
Yeah, that's a different story. But generally, the guy, I was coming from one of the beer stores that we worked at.
Yeah.
I was coming back from there, and our boss called up, and he said, I need your help in one of the theaters up here. Can you stay on for a couple more minutes? I'm like, well, yeah, sure, whatever. I was off, but, you know, I can go give him a hand. No, the guy was in the theater, right at the front row, had one girl on one side of him and this other kind of douchebaggy looking guy on the other side of him, and he's sitting there literally with no pants on. And the managers wanted him to leave for obvious reasons, but he just would not put his pants back on. But anyway, this happened outside in the parking lot. The east lot usually does not have a good track record, unless it's the weekends, for being full. So there's a lot of open space over there. So you get a lot of idiots coming in there trying out their neat little car tricks that they always like to do.
Oh, yeah.
Where they cannot, where they can't do it on the road. So generally we have to deal with those people as well. So this particular day I had some guy with, I believe it was his girlfriend, in this jacked up Ford. Now this
truck, I remember
this. Yeah, the jacked up Ford. It was probably, it had a good 6 to 7 inch lift on this thing.
The douchebag mobile.
Yeah, more or less. The almost redneck douchebag mobile.
But there are so many of them.
Yeah,
in
exactly.
Theater, how can you tell them apart?
Well, exactly. But
I've seen what is obviously a Ford truck with like Porsche plates on it. Like you got the brand decals from a Porsche and put them on a truck.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so go on.
So anyway, like I said, we've all talked about this scenario before, and none of us had actually ever seen it. To this day, I actually saw it. So the guy starts doing donuts and figure eights in the parking lot. So I'm like, okay, I go to start up the truck to go over and basically block him off and have
chew
a little
away.
Chat with him. Before I could even get the truck started, all of a sudden, from behind me, I hear a crash. Now, what had happened was, he was doing the figure eights, or the donuts, I'm not exactly sure which he was doing at this point, and he managed, with this 6 or 7 inch lift on his truck, managed to tip the truck over onto its side and slide for about 10-15 feet.
Wow.
Onto the passenger side where his girlfriend was.
I think he hit I think he hit one of the curbs on the meridian.
I'm not exactly. No, it was like right in the middle of the parking lot.
Yeah, it was.
So he didn't hit anything.
There did used to be a meridian there.
Yeah,
it was actually a bit of a dip.
I think he hit that or he hit the dip and caught something.
It was mainly because of the
but
lift on the truck.
He had enough momentum that he traveled 10-15 feet
on the side of the truck.
Was it snowing out or not?
No. It was summertime. Dry.
Oh, I saw the pictures.
Yeah,
I remember those pictures. Jesus.
Okay, so that happens. I go over to check to see everything's okay. And they're both fine. The girl's a little shaken up because, you know, she just saw her sliding underneath her, so she was a little freaked. But generally, they were both fine. So I'm on the phone with the cops, ambulance, trying to get them to come down there. Fortunately enough, while I was checking on everything, other people had seen this and they had already called them on my behalf. So I finished up with the cops on the phone and stepped back a little bit. And luckily for us, we have camera phones these days. So I took a couple quick snapshots of this with my camera phone. In the meantime, I guess a couple of his buddies who had gone in to see a movie with him a little earlier had come by and saw what happened and decided to help him tip his truck back up onto the wheels again. So after 3 or 4 tries of doing it, they finally get it back up on the wheels again. Coincidentally enough, about 2 minutes after they do that, police show up. Want to have a little chat with him. So they're over there doing their thing. I'm just standing by my truck, shaking my head and trying to figure out what the hell I just saw. But So the officer comes over to talk to me, because I was apparently there. And he sees me in uniform, so he figures I'm a good person to go over and talk to.
Apparently there.
Yeah. Well,
I never usually.
I've gone by sites that he works. And there's a stuffed doll, stuffed with cottage cheese.
Trust me, even when he's there, apparently he's not.
I am never all there.
The ninja doll substitute smoke trick.
there's a little note beside it that says, "Hello, I work hard." And stuffed with cottage cheese.
I like it.
Well, yeah. So
go on. So,
but anyway,
cop comes up to
To me. There's another officer talking to the guy who was driving the truck, and the girlfriend is over in the ambulance getting checked out now because she's still more or less in shock. But anyway,
I saw my whole life flash in front of me, and I didn't like the ending.
Because she saw herself marrying that guy.
That guy, yeah, exactly.
This is my life, oh Jesus.
So the cop comes over and talks to me, so he says, so, did you see the guy who hit him? I'm like,
what?
Excuse me? He's like, yeah, some guy came over and sideswiped him and drove off.
We call that guy terra firma.
Yeah.
I'm like, gravity.
I'm like, really? You see, like, the entire side of the passenger side of the truck, there's no paint left on the side of the truck. And the passenger side window is smashed out.
What was he scraped by? A truck?
Yeah, well, he was scraped by, like, an Apache helicopter or something.
Fucking Godzilla.
Godzilla came by.
Oh, look, it's Godzilla!
Yeah, but apparently, this is what he told the cop, is when he was sideswiped by another vehicle.
What about the fact that his paint was scraped along the pavement?
It flaked off and dropped to the pavement. And, you know,
that's one of those new fangly designs.
Was the cop winking with one eye when he's talking to you?
No, he is straight-faced and talking to me, saying this. Yeah.
Okay,
I'm like,
so
okay,
the stupid one in this story.
Oh, no, there's more than one stupid one in this
he
one.
He was having a bad day.
Okay,
but he is actually believing this guy. I'm like, okay, he wasn't sideswiped. He was being an idiot and doing donuts in the parking lot and tipped over his truck. Well, the truck's upright, and I'm like, yeah, his buddies came over and helped him. He's like, well, can you prove this? I'm like,
actually.
Because I just had to take pictures of this thing because nobody would have believed me.
Yeah,
because we've all talked about it and nobody's ever seen anybody actually.
Every time I'm anxious, I sit there and go flip.
Aw, damn it! And nobody ever does. So I had
damn
to
it, his wife finally sees the wheel.
Yeah. Bitch, dumb broad.
So I open up my phone and I show the officer this. I'm like, yeah, I've got two pictures. One of it from the side,
he's waving.
One of them from the side, which is technically the roof and the bed of the truck, and another picture of the back end of it while it's down on its side, and then another picture of his buddies helping him flip it back up. So his buddies are there flipping it back up in
the
picture.
Three pictures.
Three pictures of this. And the cop's staring at the pictures, cycling through them. He pauses, realizes probably at this point that, okay, I guess he didn't get sideswiped. And
wait a minute, he realized that on the third picture?
Somewhere.
The police academy's been letting the special ed class in.
Well,
they're not all like our Somalian guys.
Well, the fact that he actually believed this guy in the first place, is a sign of his intelligence.
Weekday.
Yeah, something, I don't know. But anyway, he hands me back my phone, he's like, okay, I'll be back.
Yeah, now he's pissed.
Yeah, now you can see this, like, oh my god, I'm going to stick my taser up this guy's ass look on his face.
Wow, that would really fuck up your day right there. Yeah.
Don't tase me, bro.
Don't tase me, bro.
Oh, let me tell you what you need.
Was that you and me that watched
that? This is like the anti-PC show.
Like, you really thought this show was going to be PC?
Okay, I know you just made the intro, like yesterday, but we need to add a disclaimer. Like, we really, just for future reference.
We've already released the first installment. The lawsuits are coming.
They can't find us!
But he goes back to talk to this kid. Now, this kid's probably about, 18 if he's a day. Goes over to talk to him. And he actually starts talking to him like a normal person. Then, all of a sudden, the kid opens his mouth. And I'm a good 100 yards away at this point. And I thought the kid was going to fall over from backing up, like leaning back from the cop yelling at him. I could hear the cop very clearly to what he was saying. I will not repeat it because it is not exactly something I should be saying. But
whole lot of you're a fucking idiot, shut the fuck up and listen to me.
It was a lot more creative than that. But the kid was almost vertical in the air because he was leaning back
horizontal.
Horizontal.
Damn. I mean, you've seen people have a strip taken off of them, but fuck.
Oh yeah, this kid had a strip taken off.
Did you have like the hand tomahawk motion?
What color was this truck?
It was blue. Yeah, it was a blue and gray.
Well,
I
guess there are a lot of blue trucks, but I mean, this sounds like suspiciously like the guy who around Christmas time was pulling his girlfriend in a toboggan.
I remember. No, that was another douchebag.
Yeah,
probably.
So, like I said, there are many of them. Yeah.
Tickets did the guy get? Like, what did the cop end up doing? Do you know?
He charged him. I talked to one of the officers afterwards. They charged him with making a false report.
Yes.
Oh.
Which is a big, big no-no up here, especially. reckless endangerment.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Not even dangerous driving.
No.
Reckless endangerment.
Because of the girl in the car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. And the mice. Somebody else's other than his life. Yeah. So it was reckless endangerment, and I can't remember. There were at least 3 or 4 traffic violations that they pinned on him too.
No, but at that point, that's
you got a broken taillight here.
I think because the windshield was cracked.
Some of your Porsche decals are missing.
Your head fell off.
I actually heard the guy say, the officer say to him, "Do you want to go into the car peacefully, or do you want to go in temper tamper style?"
Temper tantrum
style.
Oh man!
Which more or less, I think, for the officer,
people opt temper tantrum style.
Yeah, yeah. Meant. I'm going to beat you senseless until you cannot see the street.
No, you're
going to
trip and fall, and no punches and kicks were thrown.
And then when you are unconscious, I will place you in the car.
Yeah. I think everyone who's a long-time listener, what the hell, will remember this joke. This is a joke that was given to me by a cop. How many cops does it take to throw a punk down a flight of stairs?
None. He tripped.
None. He tripped. Yep.
He tripped.
I learned that separately from. I didn't hear that on your show.
Yeah.
I heard that from an Irish cop.
Irish.
No shit.
Cop.
Yeah.
Irish cop, like 5-6 years ago.
Yeah. Cops are great that way. That's a wonderful running gag with
them. I love cops.
No, but he took the latter of the two and decided to go into the cop car very peacefully and quietly.
Damn.
And
the former of the two.
But it was probably the stupidest thing I had ever seen, and if I hadn't actually been there to see it, I would not have believed it myself.
No, the worst part is if had you not been there, he would have gotten
off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I wish I'd opt to go to the temper tantrum style, because it's our only amusement in this job, is seeing people get tasered.
I've seen that many times. It's lost all amusement for me.
I still find it funny when I hear guys screaming on the ground because he tried to take a swing at a cop.
My favorite line is, and I say this all the time, somebody comes up, and I'm in the bar, somebody decides to challenge me. Oh, you think you can fucking take me? And I said, no, I can't. What I can do is I can call the cops, and I can sit back and chuckle as they drag your ass out of here.
And then they get all uppity when they're handcuffed, and you're standing there pointing and laughing at them.
Yes.
You told them that's what you were going to do.
Yes, you remember that guy.
I was like, he's like, what are you going to do about it? I'm going to call the cops, and then I'm going to stand, point, and laugh at you as they handcuff you and throw you in the car.
Fuck you, that's not going to happen. I'm going to call the cops. He called the cops because I wouldn't let him back in the bar because he was too drunk. So the cops show up. After he calls them there, they took one look at me, one look at him, didn't say anything, handcuffed him, and we're dragging him towards the car, and he's like, no, no, it's that guy. That guy did it all. And I'm standing there pointing and laughing my balls off. Yeah. And the cop's just like, stop that. I'm like, I told him I was going to do it.
And they only said stop that after his balls actually physically dropped. You're going to hurt yourself.
No, yeah, yeah.
Well, what about the bits of you? You still got your ass there. You could laugh that off too. Yes, this cop is now black. I'm totally racist against everybody.
She's racist against everybody. You can't be racist.
I gotta say, I love it when they call the cops on themselves, though. Oh. It's the fact.
Had that a few times.
I've actually handed a guy my phone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I've done that too.
And what's even better,
and they give it back.
Yeah, what you taught me too is when they get really, really pissed off and they're leaving, go, bye, have a good night. Yep. Really, really happy.
Have a good night is a security guard's translation to you. Fuck off.
Yeah, whenever a security guard very politely says, thank you, have a good night.
And whenever he says fuck off, he means thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
My favorite line is actually, please don't die horribly in a fire. Because that would be tragic. Yep, don't be careful. Fire hurts. Don't roll in it.
Stay away from the water.
Yep,
I've started doing something at the bar now. Because, you know, people coming in and out, and I'll be like, have a good night, have a good night. And I love the people that are just like, they think you're better. You know, they got that stuck up attitude. So it's like, fuck you right. Fuck you. Have a good night. Fuck you right. I say it every second time. Nobody fucking pays any attention to me.
Because no one listens to you. You're a security guy.
Yeah, did you hear about my funny hat story? I once worked the door at the bar with a Hello Kitty umbrella.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
I stood at
that.
The door checking IDs, and it was raining, and I had this little, like, 2-foot Hello Kitty umbrella.
That was a hat.
I am the cave troll. I'm 6'4", 400 pounds.
We call him that for a reason.
I was in my black security uniform, and I'm sitting there with a little blue, light sky blue Hello Kitty. It had ears. The umbrella had ears.
And a little Hello Kitty face.
And nobody said anything. They're like, here's my ID. There you go. And it was 2.5 hours. I had a lineup of people by the door, and I said,
yeah, next. See your ID. I'm not holding this umbrella.
Challenge people to try
and
play
something at that point. Well, no, because I turned, because one of the guards was like, you won't do it. I'm like, yeah, totally. And he's like, well, people are going to comment. I'm like, no, they won't. And it took 2.5 hours for the guy, for someone to comment, and he was on his way out, and he was pissed drunk, and I high-fived him, closed the umbrella, and threw it as far as I could. Fuck away from me.
Have fun with the job.
People are oblivious.
No one else is going to care.
Yeah. If you don't have fun, don't do it.
Well, you know, I think that's it. I'd like to thank you all for listening to the second What the Hell, actually, the Uncle Dax Show.
Whoops.
Copyright infringement.
Goodbye, mayhem.
No, I'm not doing that.
Goodbye, Mr. Safe Word.
If he starts singing Kumbaya, I'm out of here.
I'm fucking worried he's going to do, what was that, hello?
I'm going to crawl through a log on the way out, climb a beanstalk on down, and leave. Through the garage door.
Well, everyone, have a good night, and thank you for listening to us. All I have to say is, basically,
now let's see how long it takes for us to turn it off.